I'm Robert Siegel. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. And in this segment of the program, the life and work of Marlon Brando, the most important American actor of his generation. We start with this appreciation of his career from Bob Mondello.
In the 57 years since Marlon Brando first played Stanley Kowalski on Broadway in A Streetcar Named Desire, no actor playing that role has ever escaped his shadow. And it's no exaggeration to say that when he recreated the role on screen, he forever changed the face of American acting.
Listen, baby, when we first met you and me, you thought I was common. Well, how right you was. I was common as dirt. You showed me a snapshot, a place with them columns, and I pulled you down off them columns, and you loved it. Having them colored lights going. And wasn't we happy together? Wasn't all okay that she showed here?
Brando was definitive as Stanley, his slurring and mumbling more forceful than the declaiming of the actors who'd come before him, his vulnerability more haunting, his physicality more attractive. Oddly, he wasn't even the first choice for the role on stage. Streetcar's producers had wanted rugged screen heartthrob John Garfield, but when he turned them down, they settled for this 23-year-old unknown who had worked once before with director Ilya Kazan. They wanted the character to be crude, sexy, and most of all, real. Brando did real like no one ever had. He sounded like he was just talking. He moved with the easy grace of someone comfortable in his skin. There didn't seem to be any artifice to what he did, which may be why he thought he didn't want to do it in Hollywood. They've never made an honest picture in their lives, he told an interviewer while he was still appearing in the Broadway Streetcar, and they probably never will. Within a few years, he'd changed that. His screen debut as a paraplegic in the post-war drama The Men was so persuasive that some viewers reportedly thought he was an authentic casualty of World War II, and the next few years were marked by one indelible screen role after another, the title character in Viva Zapata, Mark Antony in Julius Caesar, leather-jacketed Johnny, the leader of a motorcycle gang in The Wild One, and Terry Molloy, the dock worker who named names in Ilya Kazan's On the Waterfront.
You ratted on us, Terry!
From where you stand, maybe, but I'm standing over here now. I was ratting on myself all them years. I didn't even know it.
Come on!
You give it to Joey, you give it to Dugan, you give it to Charlie, it was one of your own. You think you're God Almighty, but you know what you are?
Come on!
You're a cheap, lousy, dirty, stinking mug! And I'm glad what I've done to you!
Winning his first Oscar for On the Waterfront after three previous nominations allowed Brando to take more traditional Hollywood roles, among them the foppish Fletcher Christian in Mutiny on the Bounty. But his choices were not always smart. He probably shouldn't have sung the part of Skye Masterson in Guys and Dolls, or agreed to play a guru with a Jewish accent in Candy. Those weren't roles that made sense for him, and coupled with a reputation he'd developed for being difficult, they led a lot of people to conclude that Brando was washed up by the late 1960s, none of which mattered much after Francis Ford Coppola fought and won the battle to cast him as the raspy Don Vito Corleone in The Godfather.
Had a good trade, made a good living, police protected you, and there were courts of law. You didn't need a friend like me. But now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me Godfather.
Brando won his second Academy Award for The Godfather and reestablished his reputation as a rebel when he asked an aspiring actress named Sachin Littlefeather to decline it on his behalf at the Oscar ceremony. The release of Last Tango in Paris, in which he did the best acting of his career, only to have it overshadowed by controversy over the film's erotic content, won him another slew of rapturous reviews, including Pauline Kael's famous declaration that Brando had altered the face of an art form. And indeed, he had. Al Pacino, Jack Nicholson, Robert De Niro, Dustin Hoffman, and dozens of others credit him with influencing their careers, and no one acts anymore in the more presentational style of his predecessors. Still, if everyone else valued his contribution, Brando seemed not to. After The Godfather, he became known for commanding enormous fees for mostly negligible roles. Millions of dollars for a few days' work in Superman, for instance, until a small part in Apocalypse Now, as the insane Colonel Kurtz, again reminded everyone that he was the best actor of his generation.
There's a place in the river I can't remember. Must have been a gardenia plantation or a flower plantation at one time. Wild and overgrown now, but for about 5 miles, you'd think that heaven just fell on the earth in the form of gardenias.
Brando's personal life was every bit as colorful as his many lives on screen. A rebellious teenager, he was thrown out of a military academy, then considered becoming a Protestant minister, and ended up in acting school mostly because his mother and sisters were stage-struck. He became identified with causes, Native Americans, the people of Tahiti, and after filming Mutiny on the Bounty, he bought a South Sea island with the idea of developing it as both a resort and an environmental laboratory. He was famous for his powerful physique at the outset of his career and for being fat at the end of it. He had three wives and at least eight children, and his last decade on Earth was marked by family tragedies, a son jailed for murder, a daughter who committed suicide. Through it all, he remained a famously private man, so private that today his attorney initially declined to release the cause of his death at the age of 80. What we do know about him, what is indisputable, is that he is the man who changed the way actors act. I'm Bob Mondello.